Peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The basis for the sermon is from the New Testament lesson from the book of Revelation. John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come and from the seven spirits before his throne and from Jesus Christ who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. This is God's word. How do you look at the sun? I mean, you can go out there and you can look up at it, but I don't really recommend it. It's too much to take in. It can do actually permanent damage to your eyes by looking at the sun. So if you want to look at the sun and see what it actually looks like, you basically have two types of options. You can filter the light. So you can use specially designed solar binoculars or solar telescopes. You can even use those solar eclipse glasses. Remember everyone getting those at the eclipse a little bit ago? And you can even use regular binoculars or telescopes with specially designed solar filters that you place on them. And you can even use welder's goggles and use those to look at the sun. If you don't want to filter the light, you can project the light. So basically, you take a cardboard box or a shoe box, you make a hole in one end, put a piece of foil over that, tin foil, pick a hole in that tin foil, the light comes through, projects onto a piece of paper at the other end of the box, and so what you actually see is a small picture of the sun. So whether you want to filter the light or whether you want to project the light, if you want to look at the sun, you have to do something because it's just too much. Now keep that in mind when our text today says that Jesus' face, just his face, was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Our text will have a lot more to say, a lot more glory for us to take in. Specific details about Jesus' hair and about his hands and his feet and his robe and the sword coming out of his mouth, what the sound of his voice was like. And visually, just visually, Some of these things would have been very hard to take in because of their brightness and brilliance, but even a part of the brightness and brilliance of some of these things, they would have been pretty hard to understand. I mean, what do you do with a sword coming out of Jesus' mouth? Jesus is holding seven stars in his hand. What meaning are you supposed to make of that? At face value, it's kind of confusing. So whether it's the brightness or brilliance in this vision, or the confusing nature of the details, we need to ask ourselves, can you handle the glory? To try and get some hold on the glory, let's take a look at the details one by one. And let's start with a picture of Jesus himself. John says, I saw someone like a son of man dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. The long robe with a golden sash or belt implies clothes of the highest quality. And that's something you'd expect because John, just a little bit back, called Jesus the ruler of the kings of the earth. John continues his description. He says, the hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow. White is kind of the universal color of purity and righteousness in the Bible, especially in the book of Revelation. So in calling Jesus a very bright white, John is saying that Jesus' glory and righteousness and purity is far greater in comparison to anyone or anything else. His eyes were like blazing fire. Can you think of someone of whom you've said, man, that person really has an intense gaze to him? Imagine eyes so intense, it is as if there is blazing fire behind them. I think that's the picture here. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, further striking appearance of Jesus. If Jesus' face shines like the sun, well, the rest of his body is probably going to as well. His feet don't shine with the same glory that his face has, but they are just as striking in appearance. They are like hot, glowing bronze. And lastly, we have his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. Have you been next to a big waterfall before? And not just a little rapids, but a waterfall, like Niagara Falls or Yosemite Falls, standing right at the base of it where the fall hits the water. It's really loud. I mean, if you want to talk to someone, you really have to shout at them. The sound is so consuming and enveloping. It's like you are standing right in the middle of it. I think that's the similar picture John is painting for us in saying his voice is like the rushing of waters. And in addition to these physical details of Jesus' person, we have other details. John says, in his right hand he held seven stars. Now notice how endearing this is, that in Jesus' body, his face shines like the sun, and his feet are glowing like hot bronze. But his hands have nothing of those amazing descriptions. His hands are very approachable, not hot or glowing or bright, but with fingers extended. Almost like he is inviting someone to take a hold of him. What a wonderful picture of our God, who always wants every person to take hold of his hand as he leads them to heaven. And in addition to Jesus having his hand extended, you also have the picture of those seven stars in his hand. Now, seven in the Bible is very often used as the number for the church. This is something John knew. This is something his readers would have known. And in addition to the number seven, the Bible likes to compare us to lights. Jesus himself said, you are lights shining on a hill. Jesus said, let your light shine before people. So, lights of the world, Jesus holds you in the palm of his hand. And even more than that, a little bit further back, our text said, I turned and saw seven golden lampstands. again, a picture of the church, but Jesus isn't holding these lampstands. He's standing right in the middle of them. John says, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man. What a wonderful picture. Jesus is always standing right in the middle of his church. His eyes are always on his bright, shining people. And lastly, in this striking picture, we have the sword. And out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. The Apostle Paul calls God's word the sword of the Spirit. And the book of Hebrews calls God's word living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And so since Jesus and his message are the center of Scripture, it follows very naturally that out of Jesus' mouth would be coming a sword. Sharp, effective, deliberate. That is God's word centered in Christ. So now that we've taken a look at the picture, we ask ourselves, can you handle the glory? Well, let's talk about that in a couple minutes, but first let's talk about the world, those who don't know Jesus. Can they handle the glory? Well, for the most part, no. And here's why. Because the world can never harmonize God's mercy with God's wrath. Everyone knows by nature that God is good to us. He sends rain or snow. He gives us food and shelter. He gives us talents and abilities to love and be loved, to work and produce a paycheck, to manage stress and anxiety. But John and Jane, unbeliever, are quickly perplexed when challenges come along that challenge this goodness of God. What happens when the rain doesn't come? What happens when people are unloving and you don't feel loved? What happens when the job goes south and the paycheck disappears? What happens when our stress and anxiety are unmanageable? What happens when our guilt is too much for us to bear and the sins we have, the guilt we have from them, doesn't go away? Then the goodness of God's glory quickly disappears. Because without Jesus, no one is able to put together, to put side by side, to see how these two things can exist together, for God to be forgiving, for him to forgive sins and not forgive sins, to send blessings into our lives, but then also send what feel like curses, to love the sinner and still condemn the sinner. And so in this battle we have, all that is left in our perception of God in the book of Hebrews, it describes a fearful expectation of judgment. Because without Jesus, our fear will always win. Without Jesus and God-given faith in Jesus, we have no ability to win this fight with our fear. All that is left, as our confirmands told us Friday night in the examination service, is a natural knowledge of God that's full of fear. But what we need, as our confirmands also told us, is a revealed knowledge of God. For God to reveal to us personally, individually, through his word, that he loves us, that he forgives us in Jesus' death on the cross. It is only because of that love in your hearts that you are able to handle the glory. In the words of our text, it is because he has freed us from our sins by his blood. It is because of that that we are not afraid of this vision. That sword coming out of his mouth, oh, that's at work in my life every day, in your life too. It is killing our sin and slaying our guilt and sometimes cutting me when I have not confessed my sin or my guilt. That hand holding the seven stars is gentle and loving because it always holds you and the entire church in his hands. Those seven lampstands show us that God is always standing among his people. Those blazing eyes, they do not have anger behind them, but they have a fierce, protective love that Jesus has for every single one of his believers. When Jesus says to John in our text, "Do not be afraid," and when he says to you, "Do not be afraid," unlike the rest of the world that does not know Jesus, we are actually able to listen to and obey such an impossible command because God has accomplished the impossible inside of us. He has taken us from being dead in our sin to being alive in Christ, from living in darkness and unbelief and fear of God to love and trust and hope in God because he has planted that in our hearts. I want us to consider just one more part of the text. Jesus says, "I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." Notice especially that last part where Jesus says, "I hold the keys of death." I mean, the comfort of this vision is almost too much to bear. Not only does Jesus hold you firmly in the palm of his hand like he holds those seven stars, and not only does Jesus stand right in the middle of your life every day, just like he stands right in the middle of those golden lampstands, keeping an eye on you, working things together for your good. But in addition to that, Jesus also holds the key to the most terrifying part of our lives, to the final door we will go through, to death's door. In the words of Shakespeare, "The unknown country from whose bourn no traveler returns." Jesus and Jesus alone holds the keys to that door. Jesus and Jesus alone decides when that door opens. Jesus is the one who decides when he will open that door and motion with his hand for us to pass through, to pass into the unknown, unafraid, because he is known, and he has made himself known to us. He has gone before us. He has prepared the path. Jesus himself has walked the road that leads from death's door to heaven's door. But Jesus doesn't even stop there in his comfort for you. Jesus also says, "I hold the keys to Hades." Now, that might seem pretty odd to send that vision to a group of believers, that Jesus holds the keys to Hades. Jesus has saved us from Hades. And that's exactly the point John is making. And that's exactly the point this vision is making. Jesus has locked Hades to you. He has bolted shut those hot iron doors. He says, "This isn't for you. You're not going in there. I'm locking you out." Your door is on the sapphire threshold of the gates of heaven. And between Hades' door and heaven's door is earth, your life. And concerning your life on earth, Jesus says he has made you to be a kingdom. This is your ruling activity. Jesus has chosen to let his glory shine primarily through you. Confirmands today is an important day, a bright and glorious day in your kingdom, because today Jesus assures you that you are kings, and today you promise to live as kings, as every Christian does. Kings that rule over temptation and sin in every day. Kings that grow in our power in God's word and always learning more in law and gospel to see my sin and see my Savior and to help someone else see their sin and see their Savior. live as kings and worship every Sunday, where we see this kingdom most clearly. Live as kings in your family and having devotions and prayers with the people you love the most and spend the most time with. We are kings, but we are not the king. We do not have a sword coming out of our mouth. We do not hold seven stars in our hands, but we know the one who does. He has made himself known to us. He has washed us in his blood. He has washed us in our baptisms. And because of that and that only, you can handle his glory. Amen. The peace of God that goes beyond all our knowledge and understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.